Welcome, welcome, welcome to Go For Set Deck podcast. I'm your host, Shayna Worsham. And on this episode, we have Cindy Carr joining us again. She is so incredible. And if you didn't listen to part one of her interview, you definitely should because she's amazing. And she is back to do part two. And in this episode, just to give you kind of an idea of a couple things we're going to talk about. We're going to go over how to budget for a TV show, how to negotiate your rate, if you're getting your office set up, what are some of the essentials that are helpful to know as a set decorator, or if you're just curious what a set decorator does, this is also a good way to get to know what your boss is doing, if they are your boss or your coworker. To give you another background of a couple more things that Cindy has worked on. She did Sleepy Hollow for a while, the TV show, and Legends. She also worked on Contagion, Hall Pass, Fame, and True Blood, to name a couple. And she is just a legend of a decorator. She's so kind and so lovely, and I could not put into words how great she is. So I hope that you take her advice to heart, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Cindy Carr. Enjoy. What are some of your essentials for your office when you're first getting set up on a new project?
That again really struck me because I've never been in an office for 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm taking everything. I'm finding things under things, you know, that I didn't know were there. Normally on features, I was setting up a different office, you know, 2 to 3 times a year for many, many years. And all of a sudden I've been in this place for 5 years. So most important things, because I will be going to a new office soon, you know, ish. I don't know what I'm doing next, but I will have another office. Mm-hmm. I like to have some photos, like just inspirational photos, things that I have with me, you know, on any show. My laptop, that's probably obvious. Some pens and pencils that I like using. A scale so that I can, you know, get measurements on the drawings in the art department. My books. I still bring my favorite decorating books with me, even though it seems like most people, like when we're asked for inspiration or, you know, everyone goes onto the internet now. But I have, you know, a couple hundred books that I still love. Not that I'll bring them all with me, but I like to have books for reference. There's one thing I've kept from this show because I did not want to go through this again from zero. We use so many different sheer fabrics on Dynasty. And I thought, I don't know which designer I'm going to be working with next. I want to keep all these samples so I can hold this up because there are a million different kinds of, you know, colors and textures and thicknesses of sheers. And I started to throw them away yesterday and then I just put them in this bag and I thought, I want to keep all these swatches of shears so that I have an instant, you know, I can show the designer, do you mean this or this or this or this, instead of starting from ground zero with that. Right. So I kept some shear swatches.
Smart, smart. I remember there was a day where Shelley had, I'm not joking, it was a banker's box full of just sheer fabric swatches. And there was a point where all of us had put tape on the back of them and wrote the where it's from, what the price is, and how much yardage is available. And we took off the tape for one of this like tiny triangle swatches. And you were holding two of them up and we were looking at them in the light. And then all of a sudden you were like, oh no, which one was so we had to go back and try to reshop a couple of the swatches because we couldn't remember which. It was really funny. It made me laugh. But
yeah, okay, so shears has been a thing. And I found in this, there was a bag of sheer fabric like way in a corner under the table from when Shelley was there, which was the first two seasons, still some with her writing on it that I kept and put into this bag that I'm taking. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's funny. Fabrics are very important. You know, it's something we deal with a lot.
Yeah.
There was a lot of drapery, a lot of drapery and a lot of reupholstering on Dynasty.
Yes, absolutely. I also feel like another essential for The Office, especially when you're on a show for a long time, is a mini fridge. And that just could be because I'm selfish. And
No, absolutely. No, I had one of those. Yes. Yeah. It is right there by my desk.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So if I'm thinking, yeah, an essential, yes. And a corkscrew, mm-hmm. which we've been using less and less. But I still have it on hanging on the wall. Yeah, mini fridge, absolutely. And I have a box fan in my office also, because my office was built, you know, it was created in a bigger room where there wasn't an office. So I don't have an AC vent in my office. So when I have to close the door for Zoom meetings, anyway, I have a fan and a refrigerator. Very, very vital.
Truly, truly. You get a lot of use out of them.
Yes.
As an experienced set decorator in the film industry, what would be something that you learned the hard way?
A few things came to mind when I reread this question, but I think the learning the hard way, the decorator's relationship with the production designer is extremely important. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked quite a bit more about us and our crew, mm-hmm. because those are the people that support us. And, you know, we know how important that is. But the production designer-decorator relationship is, of course, key, because we're collaborating and we are technically, and especially according to our industry, we're in two different departments. You know, we're our department head, they're their department head, they're in a different union. When the relationship is not going well between the production designer and the set decorator, I would say I learned the hard way that I need to deal with it sooner rather than later. Meaning, they're talking to the designer, somehow getting things straight. I, of course, didn't have those kind of cojones when I was younger and just starting out. I was not going to be having those discussions with the designer. And I've been pretty fortunate in my career to only have issues with designers a few times. But I would say when I think of learning the hard way, the thing that came to my mind was either fixing a bad relationship with a production designer or getting off the show in some way. Don't remain there if it can't be fixed and isn't going well. That is the hardest lesson I learned. I won't go into it any more than that, but that's the hardest lesson. Yeah.
That's a really good lesson though, because a lot of people in the film industry don't see the relationship between the decorator and the designer as much as I think you experience it. So, you know, mm-hmm. the crew functions together and you work really close with your crew in set deck, but a lot of people on the outside, like your lead man, won't see the inner workings that you have with the designer as much as, you know, you have with them or a different relationship. So that's a really good point. I know that my hardest lesson that I learned the hard way was when I was in LA and I was decorating commercials and music videos for 6 years, I got a little overconfident. I felt like I was becoming really secure in my abilities and my functioning as a decorator in LA. I was really proud of myself. And so people always say, fake it till you make it. And I don't enjoy that statement because I got a little humbled by not getting callbacks from two really important people in that I had worked with, relationships that I had worked with, because I had gotten a little too overconfident. And I was saying, well, like, I can handle this and I can do this. And it just came off as cocky. And they regarded me as someone that they didn't want to work with anymore. And I do see that it kind of is like a 6-year mark. I see it in a lot of people that will do a position for 6 years and they'll get to the level that I was. And it's, I mean, it's a lesson that you can't teach someone else. They have to learn it on their own. And being humbled was necessary, but oh, it hurts a little bit.
What do I want to say? I love that you're sharing that with me. I mean, that's totally get it. I was listening to you talk and I was like, that is so honest. That's I know, like, I'm kind of embarrassed to talk about, oh, there have been production designers you didn't get along with. Yeah.
No, yeah.
When that's happening, you have to take care of it.
Yeah, that's
if you can't. Yeah.
Relationship with your designer on a show, it's your lifeline, because they're giving you all of your information, they're giving you everything that you could have in your role. They're the ultimate sign off for you. You know, it's essentially the director at the end of the day, but the designer is the one that's going to hire you. And so they are your connection to the sign off of the set. And so it feels personal when, you know, something isn't quite aligned with your designer. So it's crucial.
And also, as decorators, no matter what relationships you've built with UPMs, production supervisors, producers, they can recommend you to a production designer when they've hired that production designer before you. But the production designer, the last thing in the world he or she might want is a decorator being recommended to them by a producer. I mean, you know, I know we all have this mantra, especially in LA with our local 44, it's the producer who hires you, not the production designer. Yes, technically that's true, but we all know that is not true at all. We're chosen by the production designer.
Yeah.
I mean, we just are. That is the person that's going to ask for us, email us asking our availability, talk to the UPM about us. That's whether they're technically hiring us or not is not the point. The way that we will get the job 99% of the time is through the production designer.
Absolutely. And they are a huge source of your support. If you are put out on a limb for something, maybe it's a time crunch thing, and maybe you weren't given enough time to respond to a director's request or something. At the end of the day, that designer is going to be your backup. And that's the person that's going to back you up and support you for whatever happened in your situation. So if you don't have that relationship with them, and if you don't have the fallback of support that you need, that's huge. You're right. You should just remove yourself, because at the end of the day, you're putting yourself on the line. So
And I just thought of something else when you were talking, of course, because also the production designer depends on us, the decorator, to support them in the same way.
True.
Thing I think a decorator can do would be to throw your production designer under the bus. You know, we have to be supporting them pretty much always. If we can't do that, that would be another sign that there's something wrong with the relationship.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Mutual respect between decorator and designer is all important.
Yeah, it's one of the positions that I refer to as a trust fall in the film industry, where our relationship with the designer is going to be the trust fall that you have to be like, I've got your back and you've got mine. Otherwise, you're in a pickle.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. When you're negotiating your deal at the start of a new project, what would be some of your quote unquote must-haves for the show?
Well, since I'm a distant hire who's been working, for most of the last, I don't know what years, this would go without saying, but housing, per diem, getting a vehicle, making sure that I will have idle days paid on the weekends, and a kit rental, Those are all things that I have to have. Those are really, I haven't had any issue negotiating those for a long time because they're union rules. So the next thing that is still an issue in 2022, and I can't believe it's still an issue, I want a set deck coordinator, and I do not want to have to explain what they do anymore. I don't want to hear that it's not a union recognized position. I'm so tired of this as a decorator who's been using a set deck coordinator for, I would think, maybe 15, 16 years now. It's the one thing that we're still fighting for. Every day on every show, I hear people, both in LA and here, decorators starting a show and having to explain to a UPM that they want a set deck coordinator. Very often on a certain size show, the decorator, and this, you know, this has just happened in the past week, will be told, well, the art department coordinator will be tracking your budget and doing everything that you just said you needed a coordinator for. So I won't go into all of that anymore, but I would say the next thing between all the obvious union protected things that I will insist on now is a set deck coordinator.
That's huge. I have been facing a lot of the front of that issue, I think, because I'm a newer decorator in Atlanta. So establishing myself with new UPMs and line producers is, you know, my own battle that I'm up against. But every time that I'm negotiating my deal, it comes up that I don't have, number one, I don't have a set deck coordinator. And even sometimes on these projects that I've been getting calls for, there's also not a set deck PA. So you're leaving the department basically handicapped because of you're not fully outfitted with a crew. You have no means of turning in a correct budget that's constantly updated because you don't have a coordinator. Your time cards are being only done by the lead man, which means the lead man has less time to figure out logistics and other things. It's a little bananas. I don't know how it's happened and how we've gone backwards.
Well, I know that on both coasts, meaning LA and here, there are a group of people working with both Local 44 and 479 here to change this, to have the set deck coordinator recognized as a position. It takes a while to change these things, just like we did not have an on-set dresser before. There wasn't a buyer position either when I started. Mm. Now, obviously, no things of working without either of those now. So I think the set deck coordinator position and issue is going to be resolved soon because we've already been working on it for about 15 years. And I know it's, I know from the different chatter and the different groups, both in LA and here, a lot of people are talking about it and trying to get this resolved and trying to get it resolved here, you know, with your BA of Local 479. Just can this be a recognized position? And can I go to, let's say, a tier two movie as a decorator and not be told that the art department coordinator will be my coordinator as well? So these things are being fixed, but it's not a given. I could, whatever my next show is, depending on the size of it, I might be having to have the same discussion again, you know, and that's something I'm not going to waver on anymore. So set deck coordinator is something I think we as decorators have to fight for.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an uphill battle, but if you don't make the effort and if you don't have the conversation, then each producer that you talk to is going to say, oh, well, so-and-so did it. So we should be fine on the next one with that one too. And it just keeps perpetuating this snowball effect of a runaway train without set deck coordinators who are such a vital position in our department. Well, I was curious about this because I've never done a season two of a TV show. And so When you are negotiating your deal for the new season of a TV show that you've done the prior season, are things, do things ever change for you, or do you consistently have the same deal that you made with the UPM?
No, you should always ask for more than you were making the season before, and for your entire crew, at least, at the very least, the 3% raise. But you can ask for more than that. Honey, you're not guaranteed, as the decorator, we're not guaranteed the 3% raise if we were being paid over scale. Mm. And I've been paid over scale for years, and I was still able to get that 3% raise. But sometimes you can get more than that, depending on, you should get more each season. There's no limit as to how much more. Mm-hmm. You could ask 500 more a week for season two if you wanted to, because of things you realized that happened in the first season. You can ask for whatever more you think you deserve, at the very least a 3% raise. And that's for your entire crew across the board.
Yeah, that's a good base. It helps when you give a number to it. It's really insightful. Smart. Is there anything that you specifically are hoping to see happen for the future of filmmaking?
Yeah, just more women's voices, more women directors, more women's stories, more of us, you know, in positions. I mean, decorating is a very, it's one of those departments that's very well represented by women, of course, but more women production designers, more women DPs, just more women behind the camera, more stories being told about women, more women directors. Otherwise, I'm happy with the film business. I love movies and TV shows and streaming shows and limited series and documentaries, and there are more than ever before. So I hope that the quality continues and that there are more and more women involved in every aspect.
That's awesome. I love that one. Is there anything that you personally are hoping to accomplish yourself in the future of the film industry?
Just continuing the fight of the set decorator and the set decorating department being more respected, being taken seriously. You know, we have an issue just with the name of what we do, that it's decorating, and every man that we work with, and I'm saying that because, if it was a woman, it would be different. Every man that we work with thinks that their wife is capable of decorating their home. There's the word decorate doesn't have the same weight that the word design does, you know? So we're kind of at a loss from the very beginning, at a deficit because of our title. I don't want to change our title at this point because it has such a history, and we know what a set decorator does. And I'm sure you've explained more than once to someone, yes, I'm called a set decorator, but I can do homeless encampments. I have to do police stations. I have to do restaurant kitchens. You know, it's not just about decorating. So I just want to continue raising producer and studio executives, understanding of what my department is and does. And that means for me always very proudly acting as a department head. Mm-hmm. And I know I've talked to many younger set decorators who didn't even realize they were the head of the department. You know, we're certainly not under the art directors.
Right.
We do work under and with production designers. There's no question of that. But we are a separate department from mm-hmm. the art department, who works completely in conjunction with them. But we are our own separate department, and the decorator is the head of that department. So I just want to continue to educate people to that fact.
It's a big part of why I started this podcast. Was I had a producer tell me that my job was not important and that what I contribute does not matter to a film. And I've had a couple people. Yeah. The misunderstandings and the misconceptions of what set decoration is and what our department is, it's huge. People think that we're props. People think that we're art department. People think we're construction. So a big part of why this podcast was born was just to help people understand that we're all a different unity, basically. We function separately, but we're together. We're a branch of different things. But at the end of the day, we are a standalone department. And the decorator is the department head and not just someone who's working as a second or a third to someone else. They are a department head.
I love that you started the podcast. I know why, and I understood why immediately. And that's my fight.
Yeah.
For 30 plus has been just getting us more and more respected and understood. So your podcast is awesome. Aww. That's why I was excited when you do it. I think it's amazing. Right up my alley for wanting people back to what I've chosen to do for 35 years, you know. It's important. We're a huge part of the storytelling. And it's a very important department. And we're a separate department.
Yeah. Completely. I agree. So wholeheartedly, obviously. this next question I'm asking because there are so many women that are in the industry that end up leaving the industry because they want children. And you're someone who is a mother and you've managed to raise your daughter so gracefully and kindly and all doing it while working. So as a mother that's worked in the film industry while parenting, is there any advice that you would like to give other parents?
You know, it's funny. When I was first starting, I just thought I might want a child someday. I wasn't sure. I was, you know, young enough to have not decided yet. And I would, I tried to find other set decorators who had kids, and there were two in Los Angeles.
Shit.
So it was, and so I'm talking, you know, 30 plus years ago, the message I got when I was starting was you obviously could not be a mother and be a set decorator. And things have changed over the years. And I think the most important thing for women who want to be decorators and have children would be having a partner who understands what you do. If you're having a partner, if you're a single mom, you're going to have to be really wanting to be a decorator because childcare becomes of the utmost importance. It's not easy being a decorator and being a mother because we're not above the line. We don't get our own trailers on set. We're not given assistants that are paid for by the studios. You know, you have to really want to be a set decorator and just really think about, obviously you'll have to have time between jobs. You can't just go from job to job to job to job, or you'll never see your child. So you have to it can be done. You think about it, but you'll have to be also someone that's fine with your child being in childcare. Mm-hmm. If you're someone that believes that you need to be with your child for the first 5 years, I mean, that's great. And that's your belief, but then you won't be able to be in our business. It's really about decisions needing to be made. I had, my partner, my husband, my daughter's dad was in the business also. And he knew that I really wanted to continue decorating. So he was hugely helpful. I would go on location, you know, on features, which would mean being gone 4 or 5 months at a time. And he was willing to stay home with my daughter, or they would come and visit. So you have to be willing to figure it out. That's the only thing I can say. It is not easy.
Yeah.
And if you are you believe you're going to be the kind of mother that needs to be with your child every day more than not, you'll need to wait until the kid's older. I mean, you have to know what you're comfortable with, how much you can be away from your children. It can be done.
Yeah.
It can definitely be done. And there are more and more women who are mothers who are in our business now than there were, because the whole business became a bit more family friendly,
right?
You know, in terms of time. Like if there's a day that I think particularly of buyers I've had who had kids, because there were no set deck buyers who had children. I can tell you that 25 years ago, that was definitely not a thing. And now it is, because a buyer can go to a decorator, hopefully that she or he has a good relationship with, and say, my kid's got a dentist appointment tomorrow. My partner, my husband, my wife, whatever, can't take her. You know, we all have to be more flexible in helping.
Absolutely.
You also have to be prepared to work your 12-hour day. And if you can't do that, you'll take off for 5 years, or you'll figure it out some way.
Yeah.
I know, I kept going on. Shana, there was so much to figure out in the beginning. It was not, I remember the days that, my daughter was in our office with us in her playpen, because we were on a movie when she was a baby and John was my assistant set decorator. And so she was in the office with us. There are all kinds of creative ways you can work it out.
It's true.
Or not.
It's true. Yeah. You have to be tenacious for sure. And someone that we've both worked with very closely for years, Shelley, she has 3 kids, and watching her function, I don't know how she does it. She has 3 kids and is involved in their Girl Scouts and every aspect of their life. And it's just really amazing and encouraging to see that people have figured out a system that works for them. It's interesting.
Shelley has always a full-time nanny and an amazing husband partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be the first to say that she has definitely figured it out by knowing where she needed help.
Yeah.
And it is amazing to someone with 3 kids function the way she does. I agree.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
It is. I just, the things that she accomplishes, she's involved in our union. She's involved in representing the buyers in our industry, and also involved in her kids' life. And then also she's so good at her job. So it's really impressive to know that people exist like that. There's a caliber there.
Yeah. Be a good role model for anyone, especially, here in Atlanta, who can watch her in action for figuring out how to be a mom and be in our business. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming to our last question. And I like to ask this question because it's how I get to know people a little bit better on a different level. And for our industry, I just think it's really fun. So, Cindy, what is your favorite color?
Gray. All kinds of grays.
Wow.
I love grays.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though. Yeah. It's really pretty.
I mean, from grays to charcoal, but I love grays. I'm just looking around my place right now,
And you're wearing gray.
Yeah, I love gray.
A good one. All right. Well, is there any tips, tricks, or tributes that you'd like to give to our listeners?
No, I'm going to let everything you've asked and everything we've said. I think it's so great to be able to, your questions allowed me to come up with answers and think about what I do at a really good time in my life for me, because of this show drawing to a close, and I actually have time to think, and I have no idea what I'm doing next, and I want to make sure that I choose it carefully. No, I feel like I've said anything I wanted to say about this right now with you, because your questions were very all-inclusive.
Perfect. Well, thank you so very much for doing this. I can't thank you enough. It's been such an honor, and I just really appreciate you coming on and taking the time to do this.
Oh, well, I've loved it. Like I said, it was great for me. I love your podcast. I'm so impressed that you're doing it. And I think it's really important. And it's been great to talk to you again these past few days. It's been wonderful.
We have to stay in touch. I know. Our schedules have just out of nowhere come aligned. And I'm like, hey, Cindy, can I talk to you about this? Hey, Cindy, let's do a 2-hour interview.
Anytime. Definitely. Definitely.
I really appreciate it. So that ends part 2 of our journey with Cindy Carr. She has graced us with her presence, and I will be forever grateful. She's so lovely. I hope you guys enjoyed getting to know her insights of TV budgeting and office setup and how she hires crew. To me, these stories and experiences with our department heads are so undervalued. I feel like getting someone's perspective that you work with or does the same job as you or works in the industry with you is part of the most rewarding thing. I love to hear other people's perspectives, and I feel like it's helped me from getting the weird work apathy that I know a lot of people succumb to. So I love meeting people and I love hearing their stories. So I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And yeah, a couple things for the sign off. If you don't already, please follow us on Instagram, which is Go for Set Deck Podcast. And we have an email account set up. So if you ever want to write in, tell us a crazy story about work, or you have any questions about, I don't know, why is the sky blue? I'll do my best to answer them. And that email address is goforsetdeckpodcast@gmail.com. The other thing that you can do is rate, review, and subscribe to this channel if you're listening either on Spotify or on Apple. That kind of helps the algorithm get this podcast out to more people. And that would be pretty cool, because crazy enough, the silly little ad that you listen to at the beginning of the show, I make a penny off that every time someone listens. So I'm pretty pumped, because we've been on this journey together for a while now, and I've made $19 and I'm stoked. Yeah, so that about sums up everything. I'm glad to be back in Atlanta and getting back to work. And I hope that everyone is enjoying the end of their summer, which I can't believe it's the end of summer. Oh my gosh, it goes by so fast. I feel like every year, I mean, I know everyone says this, but every year it just gets so much faster and faster. I can't believe it. I feel a little shocked that we're about to come into fall at least. September is right around the corner. Oh, I'm not ready. I haven't even processed 2020, and we're about to enter 2023 soon. Ooh, that's scary. Well, thank you for listening. I hope that everyone is well and enjoying the last bit of the long hours of daylight. And we'll be back with another episode soon. So be an exceptional human, and see y'all later.